Welcome to Revisit Ed, a podcast of RedefinedOnline.org, catching up on some of our favorite stories behind the new definition of public education. On this episode, Step Up for Students President Doug Tuthill catches up with Julie Young, Deputy Vice President of Education Outreach and Student Services for Arizona State University, the CEO of ASU Prep Digital, and the founding President and CEO of Florida Virtual School, the nation's largest K-12 online education provider. The two discuss Young's experience with reopening and the immense growth their digital school has had since the pandemic, an over 700% increase in full-time students, and serving hundreds of thousands more worldwide. In Young's view, the changes in public education remind her of a riptide, and they're choosing to swim with it, not against it. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the episode.
So I'm excited to have Julie Young back with us. Julie is at Arizona State University, where she runs a series of charter schools and the digital school at ASU. So welcome, Julie.
Thank you, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you again. It's always fun for me. So I have a couple of things I'm interested in getting updated on since last time we talked. What happened with your charter schools? What happened with the digital school? What went really well? And what did you see as some improvement opportunities?
Yeah, our charter schools, we made the decision to go virtual for the first quarter, and we will return back to campuses after fall break if all goes well. And we really made that decision, Doug, because we felt like that no matter what precautions that we took, that we would experience disruption. We would have, whether it's students or faculty or staff, that would potentially become infected, and that we would have to interrupt the learner experience to send kids home, faculty home, et cetera, et cetera. So we thought, you know, based on the experience that we have in online education, that we wanted to go hard at a really, really solid 9 weeks of strong online remote learning without disruption for the students. And so far it's gone really, really well. I think our teachers and staff have been very grateful. We worked really diligently, as you remember, in the spring. We didn't take a minute off, quote unquote. And so we did a lot of training with staff last year. We did some more this summer, and then we did 2 weeks of training before we opened our doors this fall. On the digital side, our digital school has grown immensely, as you might imagine, and that is obviously a trend throughout the country. To put that in perspective, we've had a 700% increase. Wow. We went, it's kind of a crazy number. Yeah. We had about 600 full-time students last year. We are expecting to serve about 4,500 this year.
Wow.
30,000 enrollments last year, and we're expecting to serve over 350,000 this year worldwide.
Wow.
So growth is off the charts, and obviously with that kind of growth, I think all of the providers worldwide are struggling with the extreme growth and scale. So as we put in place a K-8 program for the first time, best practice would be that you would have a little pilot and you would test it. But based on the demand in Arizona and the need that was being demonstrated, you know, we pushed forward and we offered a K-8 program. So with that comes, you know, new content, new relationships and partners, and obviously we couldn't create all that content overnight. And so we've had to learn, you know, had to work through that with kids in the mix. Our families have been incredibly patient. It's going very well.
Talk to me a little bit about content development. You know, last time we talked, you had this amazing biology course in place. I just saw that you have a chemistry course that you guys are touting. How's the content development going throughout this process?
We feel really good about it. ASU has partnered with Dreamscape. I don't know whether you're familiar with Dreamscape,
I am familiar, yes.
Yep, Steven Spielberg should come to mind.
Yep.
And so we are super, super jazzed about that relationship and the work that we're going to get to do with them on curriculum development, and feel like that's going to truly propel our next generation content development.
Wow, that's really exciting. So Julie, you've historically been one of the great visionaries in K-12. And so I'm curious about your sense of where things are going to go. We're clearly never going to go back to January 2020. This is the most extraordinary disruption we've had in public education probably since the mid-1800s. Where is this all going? I mean, are you going to continue to have 700% growth for the next several years? Is hybrid education going to be, you know, the norm moving forward? School districts are obviously really struggling. You obviously have a huge advantage because you had a digital academy, and you still had some struggles with ramping up. Where's this all going? Where are we going to be in 3 or 4 years? What's it going to look like?
You know, to give a Florida example, it kind of reminds me of when there's a riptide, and what do they tell you to do? Not to swim against it,
right,
but to swim with it.
Right.
And if I could give any piece of advice to leaders in the education industry right now, and, you know, in our world as an educator to educator, it would be swim with it. And I think that if those who are trying to swim with it are starting to experience some success, some aha moments, they're starting to realize that, you know, there are new and different ways of learning, and that one size does not fit all. And those who are swimming against the riptide are really struggling, if not drowning. And so to your point, I do not think we will ever go back to January 2020, although I do still see some leaders waiting it out. And as they wait it out, it's, you know, somewhat devastating for their parents and their student learners. And if I think forward, I think that hybrid education is going to be with us now moving forward. It has, as you and I both know, has been with us for a very long time, but it has been, you know, defined within homeschool communities, you know, church communities. The micro school movement just surfaced a little bit a few years ago, but, you know, was teeny, teeny, tiny. And now what we're seeing is parents see all kinds of learning opportunities for their families. Some of them hate it and some of them are loving it. So I see micro schools and learning pods, homeschool collaboratives, I see those really growing. And I see opportunities for people like us who do this work and do it well to support them in that endeavor, without interference, but with support and guidance. I also see that our schools, to survive, are going to have to learn to offer multiple type of learning modes, or their families will go elsewhere. And we're seeing some of that now. It's been interesting to watch the trends, even in our own schools. So you have the families that are with you because you are fully online right now and they're not ready to go back to the buildings. And then we're starting to see a little attrition in one particular area, one particular school, because the schools around us have just now opened up and they are going back in person. And those families need that in-person relief. And most of them have said, once you open, we want to come back. And so, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of that over the next, you know, 6 months. You asked the question about, are we going to continue to experience, you know, a 700% growth? What we are really focused on doing is we absolutely want to do what we're doing well, and we want to demonstrate that learning can take place at the highest levels in a remote online environment. It's what, you know, we've committed our life's work to for the last 20 years. But what we are truly focused on at ASU Prep Digital is upskilling others and teaching others how to do what we do and do it well. So we've created the Arizona Virtual Teacher Institute, which is being supported by the Arizona Department of Ed, the Governor's Office, and the Helios Foundation, to the tune of $7.5 million in grant funding for us to, free of charge, provide training opportunities all year long to Arizona teachers, again, free of charge. And our whole focus is, how do we teach them, train our teachers, our leaders, to do this work and do it well? They don't have to, you know, do anything else with us. They don't have to purchase content. They don't have to use our instructors. It really is about, how do we, raise all ships and do online remote learning well, and give of ourselves in that way.
I'm just curious, if you were a school superintendent, let's say in Florida, what would you be doing to prepare to prepare for the future? I mean, I'm starting to wonder what the future of school districts are, what that looks like moving forward. This is kind of an off-the-wall question, but I'm just curious, would a school superintendent should be doing exactly what you're doing now? I mean, because you've got charter schools and you've got digital prep. You know, what should a superintendent be doing in terms of preparing for the next couple of years for a mid-size or large school district?
You know, obviously you and I have talked before about the fact that what this has also surfaced is that we have an entire workforce that was not prepared to teach this way.
Right.
And if I were a school superintendent, I would be training my leaders and my teachers and my staff to, you know, with the tools of today and the tools of tomorrow, and really giving them the opportunity to see what strong learning looks like in these different modalities, whether that be hybrid, whether that be fully distant, or obviously in-person classroom with new tools. And, you know, Florida obviously has Florida Virtual School. And so there is, an incredible resource there of highly trained individuals in this work. So I would be leaning on them as a state asset deeply. In addition, I would be looking at the learning pods and the micro schools very differently. I would look at how do I make them part of my district? How do I bring them in as opposed to keep them out? And what would it look like for us, the public school system, to support parents in that endeavor, you know, as opposed to those parents feeling as though they are disenfranchised and or they have to go elsewhere?